Producer Brett, you want to ease into the new year? Some of us might not have had to Advil yet. Just kidding. Welcome to the Yahoo Sports Fantasy Podcast. It is 2019. I'm still Liz Loza. That over there is still Matt Harmon. And over the digital waves, airwaves, Dalton Del Don is joining us as well. Hello, gents. Happy New Year. Oh, wow.
Happy New Year, guys. How's it going?
Great.
What's up, Dalton? Is this the first time the three of us have done a pod together? It's outside of the one where I crashed before. Is it? I don't know.
Yes, I believe it is. Yeah, I think it is.
Well, this is great. Well, this should be a lot of fun. I get really difficult when Liz is around because she tries to, you know, hog all the attention and everything. So I need some attention on myself. So this should be a fun podcast.
So, Dalton, did you do anything exciting for New Year's?
I was just going to say, I don't know how exciting or attention seeking I am, man. I was asleep before midnight. I tried my best. I was watching a movie, fell asleep.
What were you watching?
I mean, my neighborhood, First Reformed, this movie is supposed to be good. I'm trying to kill all the I was going to watch Roma. But I couldn't do the subtitles. But anyway, my neighborhood went nuts at midnight, so I know I did wake up then. But
you live on a
getting
farm.
Up earlier.
Wait. The farm.
I do not live
nuts.
In a farm. No,
yes,
I live
did.
In a city. Come on, now, calm down. I live in a city. But anyway, I was going like on a ski trip the next morning, getting up early. So that's my excuse. But I am so boring. I was asleep before the new year even turned. So yeah, you guys are definitely the more exciting group, a part of this podcast.
Matt, what were you doing other than nursing the hangover that I gifted you with?
Yeah. Liz destroyed me the day before at brunch, but New Year's Eve, I was pretty good. I was out. I was out with an associate, and then we went over to my friend's place afterwards, and we just the four of us hung out for New Year's. It was pretty chill, pretty low key, which is what I like. I don't think New Year's is better when you don't try too hard.
You manage expectations about it.
Yeah.
I was in wine country. It was fantastic. That's all needs to be said.
There
I was
you
in
go.
Wine country without my kids, with my husband. Let's make sure everyone
that's
knows
good.
That. With my husband, not my kids, in wine country, Paso Robles. It was fantastic. Heads up, there's an amazing, if you're traveling to the central coast of California, Peruvian restaurant in Suena Media Peruana. So in the middle of Paso, just gorged myself on incredibly homemade tasting Peruvian food.
I was following you on Instagram and your stories looked like you were living your best life.
Best life. All right. Well, we are going to look into the future for much of today's episode, but we have to recap the 2018 fantasy season, what we got right, what we got wrong, and what we can improve on. But first, you know, they say that coffee with a shot of Gatorade can cure a hangover. So let's pour some.
Coffee talk.
Just to be clear, it's the third. Are you still hungover?
I mean, you take the first off. I got back in town on the second, also my mom's birthday. Sup, Mom?
Shout out.
Oh, Brett.
The damn noisemakers. Gotta go.
Well, you know what? You know what who's been causing a ruckus since before the first of the new year is Antonio Brown, because he wants to be traded. And there is a small precedent for star wide receivers getting traded in the offseason. You got Brandon Cooks, obviously, Percy Harvin, Chad Ochocinco. I would say that one of those three worked out better than the rest of them, but probably not a star as big and bright as AB. It's early. And that's unlikely, right? Like, this isn't going to happen, but let's pretend, because in the beginning of the year, we're still hopeful and thinking about different things. So let's play a little Madden franchise mode and say he does get traded, even if it's unlikely. Dalton, I'm going to start with you. Where would you like to see him go? And you can't say the 49ers.
First of all, it's funny we're talking about attention seekers earlier, and Antonio Brown was just on that Fox Masked Singer show last night. I didn't watch that, but it's funny that obviously he filmed that before he was in the news right now, but it was fitting. Oh, come on. That's exactly where I was going, the Niners. Are you kidding me? Of course I'm going
you
there.
You can't get
Jimmy
OBJ
G.
and they, Antonio Brown.
That's true. You can't get both. So we'll just settle with AB here, because he'd be perfect. They could number one opening there, that system. I don't even know if I would want that as a Niner fan, as far as spending your resources or the money on a number one receiver there. And I don't know, do either of you even understand the contract? I've read conflicting things. Can they trade him? Can they not? I personally am just assuming this will all smooth over, but who knows?
Yeah, my thought is that this is something that we talk about all offseason. I mean, this is not the first time this has happened. Remember in the offseason, there was some former Steelers, like, I don't know, employee or something who was basically saying, like, AB should be thankful that, you know, Ben Roethlisberger brought all his success. And he quotes
that
the guy.
That was in the offseason. That was in the beginning of the regular
preseason.
Season.
Yeah. Right. Or was it actually during games?
It was during games because then he said, trade me and find out.
Yeah. Right. I mean, let me tell you, I got to meet him over the summer and my buddy Franchise spent a lot of time with him, you know, because he's a EA Madden cover artist and he's an interesting fella. He's definitely an interesting guy.
Here's where I think it might be a little more likely, because the argument obviously is that this is a brilliant star with an incredible skill set, arguably the best wide receiver in the game right now. But if he can't win games for you because he won't make himself available for key games that could and would launch you into the playoffs, then the argument of having a guy who helps you win is void because he didn't help you win.
And I hear you. That's the thing, is that he did obviously just, like, pretty much sounds like straight quit on the team or whatever. I think Pittsburgh needs to take a look in the mirror as a whole, because they continue to have these dramatic stories pop up. And I think the common denominator is probably obviously the organization and their quarterback, too, is a drama queen in and of himself. I'm not letting Antonio Brown off the hook, but you want to talk about going to help you win. Like, that offense in week 17 was a mess after going back and rewatching that game. And I think it's because they didn't have their primary number one receiver. They don't have another guy on that team that can command coverage and can beat man-to-man defense like Antonio Brown can. It's a huge loss if he's not there. That was the most drastic loss we've seen all season, despite the fact that they haven't played with their starting running back all year.
And why does Roethlisberger throw everyone under the bus like that? I don't know. It's just frustrating. Now he's saying that Le'Veon Bell was a distraction. I mean, that really, yeah, they got off to like a 7-2 start.
Because
I mean,
no one
silly,
stops
but
him, Dalton. Like, who's going to stop him? Who's going to discipline him? Like, they need, you know what? This is when, and go ahead and at me, but this is when I can't believe there hasn't been a woman head coach yet. Because we are mothers who do not put up with any of that. And I feel like I would want to discipline these kids. Like, this is not the way you act. Like, you do not get gold stars for acting like a child or a toddler. P.S. Antonio Brown to the Browns is the most inspired 2019 prediction possible.
I love the idea of the Steelers need a mom. The Steelers need a mom.
Steelers need a mom. You know what? Liz Lowe's is going to clean up. You want, like, a mouthy blonde lady up in your face? No, you don't.
I don't.
No. All right. So Black Monday happened, and there were a lot of takes, and we're going to continue to make them because the Dolphins, Broncos, Jets, Bucks, Bengals, and Cardinals all fired their coaches. You lost assistants in Jacksonville. You lost assistants in Atlanta. You've got vacancies in Green Bay and Cleveland. What of the stuff that we're hearing to you? I'll say right now, like, I like if Jim Harbaugh, right? Jim, the one in Michigan.
Michigan Jim Harbaugh.
Michigan, yep. Jim. If he leaves Michigan and comes back to the pros, which is another rumor, I like him going to the Jets. Like, he's a college coach. There's so many young pieces there. I feel like he could rah-rah them up. I like that move a lot. Although McCarthy is being attached to the Jets. McCarthy and one more. Who is the other guy? Bieniemy passed flat on the Cardinals. They were like, next. Yeah.
That was pretty shocking to me. Well, I'll just say on Jim Harbaugh, Michigan's like already sick of him too, which this is what happens every time Jim Harbaugh goes anywhere is it's greeted with great fanfare. And then not long after, they're sick of him and they're ready for him to get the hell out of here.
In your milk,
yeah, it doesn't matter how
elsewhere
successful you are. You gotta go. As far as Mike McCarthy, it is interesting. It sounds like he might sit a year out because, as you mentioned, like, the Cardinals, they offered him the keys to the kingdom, mm-hmm, you know, full personnel control, which, by the way, Cardinals, come back to us. Like, what in Mike McCarthy's, like, ledger as a head coach says he needs to have all control? I think he deserves probably another shot because at one point he was a good head coach. I think he just wore out his welcome in Green
12
Bay.
12 years ago?
Yeah, right. So, I mean, freaking John Gruden's out there getting $10 million a year from like 20 years ago. So I think McCarthy deserves another shot, but does it need to be right away? Maybe not. Does it need to be as like a football czar? I would say certainly not.
That's interesting. Maybe watch some tape. Maybe catch up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think just in general, a lot of these, there are a lot of attractive jobs And then there are the Cardinals and the Dolphins, which I don't know why anybody would want to take either of those.
Well, hold
jobs.
On, Dalton, I want to get your take on this. But because we're talking about McCarthy, on today's episode of Mostly Football, which you can watch on Yahoo Sports and Complex Sports, we had Mercedes Lewis on the show. And the guys asked him, what was it like this year in Green Bay? Did you, you know, with Mike McCarthy, with Aaron Rodgers, and Mercedes Lewis said the first time he realized there was trouble, they were in a huddle. McCarthy called a play. Aaron Rodgers shook his head and said, nah, here's what we're going to do. Like, change the whole thing, threw a 40-yard bomb. It was a completion. And Mercedes Lewis was like, oh, dang. Like,
that's how this goes here?
You know, he was in Jackson. He even said, like, when he was in Jacksonville, you could kind of, quote, express yourself in very free ways in that locker room, which shocks me not at all based on what we're seeing.
Yeah.
I mean, Leonard Fournette just quits on that. The whole thing is, gets his running backs coach fired. Like, the whole thing is high drama. But I think that's going to be interesting. Dalton, who do you want to see go to Green Bay, knowing that Aaron Rodgers wants, you would assume, a young, offensively minded coach like the Bears have?
I don't follow like college ranks nearly enough. My take on coaches, first of all, good poll, Liz, with Eric sleeping with Bieniemy. He is an interesting candidate. My main take with the coaches is I don't want to see Chuck Pagano, Mike McCarthy, Jim Caldwell, Hugh Jackson, these retreads who just keep getting these interviews. And I just don't really understand the evidence we have in front of us of why you would want to go back to the well there. And I just would like to see a new blood. I mean, I'm fine with Jim Harbaugh. I like the connection with the Jets because he's a quarterback guy. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Darnold, I like that there. But and the Bucks, I'm really interested in that situation. Obviously, Green Bay. But I don't have any like sneaky candidates personally. I just do not want to see these retreads anymore.
I like Matt has a nice Green Bay take. I mean, I don't like it personally, but if you've got Fangio moving over.
Yeah. We see somebody like Vic Fangio go and become the defensive head coach and
become the head coach. But then
the defensive head coach. Yeah, right. He's a different type of guy in charge. And then we see a young offensive mind come in there as the play caller.
That was my Niners guy when they were going to the Super Bowl with Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. Fangio was a defensive coordinator. And they just essentially just like let him go when Harbaugh left. And now he's like
strange.
The hottest coaching next candidate.
I really hope
he
stays in Chicago. But that's also, oh my gosh, you guys, we're jumping ahead of ourselves and poor producer. Producer Brett it's like a Jackson Pollock painting in here, but I'm getting ahead of myself and I'm going to continue to get ahead of myself because I want you all to be prepared for next week when I am divining this, the Rams and the Bears play, and I am at the game and it ends with me in tears, regardless of who wins or loses.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
It sounds like dating. It's
just, can I borrow your sweater?
Sure. I got to wash it, though, after nearly dying in it the last time we hung out. So some interesting ones out there. You mentioned Hugh Jackson. He's a, quote, real possibility for the Vikings offensive coordinator job. Talk about like an already volatile situation from what we saw between the team on the sidelines, in week 17.
But also John DeFilippo is available.
He's available.
I don't mind him going to Green Bay.
I guess. What did you see from him this year that...
But how much of that was because he wasn't being appreciated, respected, supported, encouraged, etc.?
Like, that's very true. Also, I said all year, too, that the Vikings offense really is kind of just overrated from a personnel perspective. And Green Bay, of course, would be much different. You've got our guy Todd Monken interviewing with the Bengals. That's an interesting one.
Coaches are just so tough to evaluate just in general from the outside. I just think with those who have mounting evidence that they've just made such mistakes. You know, McCarthy with superstar quarterbacks. I don't just want to see why you would do that again. But anyway, sorry to cut you off, Matt.
You're right. And I mean, it's a mixed bag right now. And frankly, this is something that I think we have to wrap our heads around, is that there's more jobs available than like really sexy coordinators and that are out there that could be head coaching. I think that's why we're going to see some retreads get out there. That's why we're seeing Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, it's wild that a current USC offensive coordinator who was just fired as a Big 12 coach is now getting, you know, offers and interviews at least.
That's the Arizona job, right? Like he's getting
quoted and the Jets, I think.
Well, the Jets make sense because of the Darnold USC connection.
It just shows you what a different place the NFL is in. And again, I think we're going to be looking at some of these hires like, what? Freaking Adam Gase is like still got the shine on him from 3 or 4 years ago or whatever, because he's out there interviewing for jobs.
I buy that one, though. I buy that one. Man. Like, I like him to Arizona, frankly. He was high on Josh Rosen. I don't own any shares of David Johnson dynasty, so I don't care about that backfield being split. But I think that Adam Gase is a really nice fit there.
I don't like Gase.
Why?
I think he's...
Everything that goes to Miami falls apart.
Sure.
Well, it's all dirty.
That's why I think it's the least attractive job, because they don't know what the hell they're doing. They always turn... They either turn over the head coach, or they turn over... the front office. They never do it at the same time. This year, I think they're finally doing it at the same time. So I get that from perspective with Gase, but also I don't think he did anything inspiring in Miami. He did.
What talent did he have? Ryan Tannehill, Brocktober.
I mean, he doubled down on Ryan Tannehill. Then he consistently never gave Kenyon Drake a shot, I think, to be a feature back this year. They never, I know Devontae Parker is mercurial, to say the best, but they were really hard on him. They shipped Jay Ajayi out of town. I think they got rid of a lot of talent there too. They consistently ran a stale, boring, slow-paced offense.
They ran a stale, boring offense when every, I want to say seven quarters would manage to do some gadgety play that won close games and shocked people. So I feel like there is something in that DNA were it allowed to, in a petri dish, perhaps grow and was properly cultured, could do something.
Maybe, but I also think he's...
I like that.
I think he's like, oh, no, that'd be great. Maybe he's a guy who's better in his second job, but he was definitely...
So give him an OC position.
He was definitely a little... Yeah, I'm fine with he has an OC job, but a head coach job, I wouldn't give him again. I think he's kind of low-key like Hugh Jackson a little bit. He's a snake behind the scenes, uses friends in the media. And I know he's got friends in the media and that push his message out there. And I just think he... just came off like a little bit of a jackass.
So if we're
I see both sides of you guys with Gase. I mean, he has some random plays where he'll scheme that'll get players wide open, which are like very awesome. And I think coordinator there, he would stand out. But to me, as a personnel guy, just he had no interest in winning, giving 150 carries to a 35-year-old running back. And I think Devontae Parker is going to be good wherever he lands. So I don't know about the decisions with the playing time there.
Well, then this is a good opportunity to segue, because we want to talk about things that we whiffed on last year. And by your own admission, Dalton, one of those players was Kenyon Drake. So talk about it.
Right. So among many misses I had, I will just, good segue there. Kenyon Drake, I just felt the best yards per carry after contact since they charted the stat last year. He just passed the eye test too. But yeah, just a disaster with usage. I mean, he basically was rendered pretty much useless in fantasy. And I think you two are going to go with bigger names, but I want to be clear here. I was advocating taking Drake at the turn in the second, third round. I mean,
true
I was
story.
Higher on him than consensus very much. And what we're left with were 120 carries in 16 games. So there's no injury. I mean, I think he was playing a little banged up more there at the end, but that's really not to blame here. I just flat out misjudged how he was going to be used, and that was a big swing and a miss.
I also want to give Dalton some props, because while he did miss on Kenyon Drake, he did not miss consistently in terms of rankings throughout the season. He was one of the top 10 most accurate rankers of the 2018 fantasy season per Fantasy Pros. So congratulations, Dalton. Thanks for making
hell
us
yeah.
all look good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, guys. Thanks.
Again, I should have never suggested this thing. All right, Matt, we talked about Arizona.
Yeah, and there are plenty of misses for me too, but I think the biggest one was that I thought David Johnson was in contention, and I took him in a few at least best ball drafts where I had the 1.01 right up at the top of the draft. And I mean, I guess the lesson here is coaching and the assumption of rational coaching, and how that can be a very bad thing. So as we're here sitting here talking about, we don't always know what the effect of coaching is. I think we can say with pretty good confidence that somebody like Mike McCoy was not an inspiring hire, you know, coming from, and right. Steve Wilks too. We maybe should have seen the writing on the wall there that, you know, that he was going to, the fact that he was just going to run out his defensive system, kind of wreck the one thing they had going for them. We should have seen more that coaching was going to be the issue there. But, you know, this also comes to me, and I thought about this for my next point being like what I'm going to do better next year. But one thing I have to be a little bit better on is my consistency, and I got to make a damn decision about how I actually feel about the running back
talent
position.
Or no talent?
Is it talent or no talent? Because I was kind of in on Kenyon Drake because I thought he was really talented, and I didn't believe the coaching staff when they said that Frank Gore was going to get carries. I believed that the talent of David Johnson was too otherworldly for them to do something so stupid as to not throw him the ball, not make him a receiver. But I was out on Joe Mixon because I thought, oh, I don't care if he's talented. I don't trust the offense. So I got to be a little bit more consistent with these running back decisions that I make. And you know, nobody – one of the only things I've ever gotten right that I've been proud of was that I was all out on Todd Gurley in 2016 when people at the network that I worked at were all over him as the 1.01 pick then. And I said he shouldn't go in the top five picks because of the crappy offense that he was going to play in. And even if Arizona had been – even if they had been smart coaching-wise, it was clear they were going to be a bad offense. So I don't know what the hell I was thinking there. I was going against one of my own core philosophies. You know, what am I doing?
But also what's interesting is that things can shift mid-season, right? You and I have talked about this separately, like offline. I think I talked about this with you on the Backyard Barbecue Podcast. like years and years ago, this is something we discussed because – you can be, I remember when everybody was hyped on Brandon Cooks and I was like, no. But then New Orleans mid-season started using him differently and then it works out.
Yes.
Derrick Henry's, I was very high on Derrick Henry, had him on numerous teams. I remember someone tweeting out like everyone in the playoffs when Derrick Henry started to finally show up after he apparently texted with Eddie George and got some big tips. Thanks.
run better.
Right. Maybe lower your pads and just go for it. By then, my team was so far out of the playoffs. I remember someone tweeting like, oh, Derrick Henry winning all these playoff runs for people. And I was like, no, they're playing for seventh place because that's where I was at. But so things can shift mid-season. And so I think the player, let me just say, that I whiffed on was Leonard Fournette, 100%. I bought into the narrative that if he slimmed down, a la Le'Veon Bell, and got healthy, he would have less weight on his joints and his ankles. He wouldn't have as much of an issue. He'd be faster. All of it would happen. I didn't take into account how he would condition, if it would just be a bunch of diuretics, which would give him then soft tissue issues, his effort level, the locker room potentially in Jacksonville. I completely whiffed on him. He just got his running backs coach fired.
I mean, obviously you and I were out three sheets to the wind on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, not really in reality, but my God, like when did it happen that Leonard Fournette went from everything that the establishment, the pillar of what the Jacksonville Jaguars wanted to be, to in week 17, the freaking head coach is putting out a statement like what Leonard Fournette did today was totally unbecoming, unprofessional. I'm like, I don't, what did he do? Like, that's something that you could have like not even made a public statement about and nobody would have said boo otherwise. It would have not been a story for one second. Now they're trying to take his guaranteed money back from his rookie contract.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean,
file a grievance about
right.
it, of course. But I mean, is that guy going to be on the Jaguars
no.
next year?
I don't think you can. I mean, I don't think that Dalton, what are your thoughts on this, though? Because obviously Tom Coughlin wants to be the head coach of this team. Right. And there.
Yeah, I will not forgive Leonard Fournette for his no show. What was that, week 16 at home against Washington when he had one touch in the second half? I was very high on him in DFS. And whatever the excuses were, oh, they're going to rest him at the time. It's like, oh, they're preserving him for next season.
They wanted
season.
To see
Makes
the rookie.
Sense.
They wanted to get reps
right,
on the rookie.
Exactly.
Right.
A name I didn't know at the time and cannot even remember now either.
That's why I called him the rookie.
But yeah, so Fournette, and who knows? I mean, I liked him too. I was with you guys. I led my AFC preview column with him. I was on board with people aggressively drafting him. All the whatever the workouts he did in the preseason or the offseason didn't translate into better health. And who knows where he even ends up playing next year.
And no offensive coordinator in Jacksonville because Nathaniel Hackett got the boot. I can't believe that Doug Marrone is going to stick around. I mean, to me, this is Tom Coughlin is going to coach this team from above, and we'll see what OC they end up with, which OC they end up with. All right. So we like to improve, right? It's not just like, oh, I whiffed on this. And here's a shocker for everyone. We're all going to whiff again this year, but we're going to try new ways
I don't
of
think
whiffing.
So. I think I'm going to get everything right next year.
I guarantee I am going to whiff on some stuff. But
speak for yourself.
I'm going to try not to in a different way. We're always learning. Dalton, is there a New Year's resolution or approach that you're taking either as a fantasy player or prognosticator this year?
Sure. Well, one thing I will say, I'll probably be willing to draft a tight end earlier than ever, but we'll talk about more about that probably as the season approaches. I'm going to take away from this year, I'll say I won't be so ageist with backs. I mean, we talked about Frank Gore. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that I want a 30-plus-year-old runner on my team, but I'm just not going to be so quick to assume injury with these boring aging veterans like blocking upside backs. I mean, not just Gore, but Adrian Peterson had the fifth most carries in the NFL this season. LeSean McCoy still hung around. So I'm just going to tell myself not to be so flippant with the clearly there's medical improvements and these running backs are lasting longer than they have in the past.
I like that. That's one I think is really smart. One thing I'm going to do, and this is less as an analyst, but more as a player, because I'm okay with what I'm doing as an analyst. I'm fine with that. But I have not been a great fantasy player for the last, I would say, 2 years, especially. And I think my biggest problem is that I draft too many players. I need to be more like firm on like these are the guys I want to leave a draft room with. Like, and this is hard to do.
That's
because
tough.
Everything is draft position, but I just want to limit my player exposure to in redraft leagues, especially in best ball. Sure, I'm a draft, you know, hundreds of different guys, all kinds of different combinations and collections. But the time that it comes at the end of August, I would like to have not a small group of like five, but the guys I'm most confident on, I want to be aggressive about drafting. If I have to draft them ahead of their ADP, like what I've noticed is just over the last few years, like the good teams that I have, they've all got the same type of guys, you know, like there's a certain amount of players that, and also this goes to another one of my points, and what I've definitely started to believe more and more is like the draft, like hardly even really matters. Like if you get a few of these picks right, you did the right thing, because for the most part, these rosters are going to look like 70-80% different by the time you get to the finish line than what you had in August. Like if I blow it at running back, who cares? I'll find ways to, you know, make chicken salad out of, you know what. So I don't know. To me, I just want to be a little bit. What do you? It's chicken salad out of chicken. What are you giving me that look for?
I've never heard that before.
It's a thing. It's people. Okay. People say that, right, Brett?
That's a, okay. It's a thing. Yeah.
It's a okay. Thank you.
No, I've never had it. Jeez. Well, I mean, I've eaten chicken salad. I've just never heard
never
it made out
chicken
of.
Chicken.
No,
well, there you
not
go.
That I wear.
Anyways, I just feel like to me, I want to have more confidence on a small handful of guys and be willing to be aggressive in drafting them and hope that it works out.
So I think that will make you a better fantasy player. But I also feel like when I do that, it makes me a worse fantasy analyst because I'm not paying as close attention to as many, like as close personal attention to as many different players. So it'll be interesting. It's an interesting experiment to see if it affects your professional outlook.
Well, to be honest with you, I'll probably have forgotten I decided this like
in 6 months.
In 6 hours, I'll probably have forgotten about this. So,
oh, I absolutely already hate aging running backs. I already hate them.
Zero shares. I've been thinking about this a couple of ways. Part of me, what I wrote down was I want to trust my eye more. I liked Joe Mixon because I felt he was talented when I watched his tape. I felt like he could, without even a great offensive line, perform. And that was one of the main concerns about Cincinnati heading into the season. I also, therefore, was high on David Johnson because he is an incredible, I didn't like Alex Collins because I was like, I think this guy is like a boring North-South, not very creative runner. So like, I guess I want to continue to trust my eye. I believe I can evaluate talent better than most people. Holler at me, NFL. Holler at me, Rams front office. I'm available. Y'all need a mom, too.
Don't at me, bro.
No, I said holler, not at me. There's a difference. Jeez. But I also feel like what I sometimes did was get a little too cute, right? Like CJ Anderson, I was like, oh, Rivera's lying. He's not going to feed CMC. That's him trying not to give away his offense. No, what he said was we're going to run CMC. And then CJ Anderson, who I thought would be a sleeper, didn't do anything. But was CJ Anderson that great before? No. So I think like I wasn't trusting my eye. I was trying to get a little bit too cute, like trying to read between the tea leaves in a psycho babble kind of way. And so I want to do less of that. And I don't know, like I'll probably never be as great of a fantasy player as I was before I became an analyst because I'm frankly too busy working on other people's teams and creating content to pay attention to the waiver wire.
Preach.
So, you know, waiver's clear and I'm like, oh, dang, that was yesterday. All right. Who's still around? You know, but hey.
Very fair.
Should we talk about rankings potentially next year? The first three players off the board are Matt.
Dalton, I basically had the same answer, but I said Gurley, Barkley, and then Zeke.
And Dalton, you said Gurley, Zeke, and then Saquon.
Yeah. Liz, you threw a different one in there. So what about your?
Yeah, thank God. Thank God. Because this conversation could not be more worthless at this point, because it's like, three good running backs. But you threw a nice wrench
in
there.
I did. Well, I thought about Zeke and I thought, I don't know. Like, we'll see what happens in the offseason. But Gurley, Saquon, and then Mahomes, because when I looked back at number of fantasy points accrued, Mahomes was the QB1 by, depending on your scoring systems, like upwards of 40 to 50 points more than Todd Gurley, the RB1, produced. So like that swing of points, and I believe he was significantly higher than, who was the QB2 this year?
I think it's like Matt Ryan.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Like, it's, are you kidding me? All happened in like the last 2 weeks of the season. It is Matt Ryan. So like Mahomes posted 430, I'll round up, fantasy points. Matt Ryan, 350 as the QB2. The RB1, as we all know, is, I'm sorry, was Saquon with 338, RB2. Todd Gurley, 336, but you've got Mahomes clearing so many more points. And I think that the games also, like, part of fantasy is familiarity, and the games that were televised, that Rams game, the Rams Chiefs game, Mahomes was on, I feel like he was on primetime every damn week. So people came very familiar with him. They watched the left-handed throws. They watched him like extending plays. And so I think there is now a love affair, and the numbers back it up, that he is going to be, whether I rank him this way or not, drafted within the top five.
All right. One thing I'd say about the running back situation is I don't think it's a clear cut that it's Gurley necessarily coming off injury, and Elliott had 40 more carries than the next most this year, and he sat out week 17, way more involved as a receiver. Barkley kind of comes down to what happens with Eli Manning, so I don't even think that's necessarily Gurley. I think those three backs, each one has a case. As for Mahomes, what I'll say there, Liz, is you're right. He just totally stood out above all the rest there. I think that's why there's more argument for super flex leagues, because then you have a real decision there to have Mahomes first overall. So I think there's, anyone should, if you're not interested, you haven't done that before, at least tip your toe into that. I think more and more leagues should go that route.
I mean, this is, I feel like it's sacrilegious to say this, because I mean, I love Mahomes and like I'll worship at the altar for the guy. I don't care. I think he's incredible, but like, it's quite possible.
He's the biggest candidate for regression. That's what you want to say.
I don't want to say. No. I don't want to say it.
But your math brain is telling you.
Yes. Now, do I think he is the most unique, you know, QB1 candidate that we've seen, because other guys, you know, Cam Newton comes out and has a clearly unsustainable season when he was the QB1 back in 2015.
Last year.
Watson, easy one to spot that wasn't going to happen again. But the ability of Mahomes mixed with the infrastructure that he's in the Andy Reid system, you know, which to me is, you know, bar none in the NFL, the best. And with a great set of weapons there. I mean, Kelsey will be back. Hill will be back.
And a bunch of aging quarterbacks on the other end of it. You've got Roethlisberger. Breeze may not play if he wins the Super Bowl. Brady's entering,
yes.
You know, like there's other.
He would be the odds on favorite to be the QB1. But to what degree do we have that confidence? Because if you take Mahomes at this spot and you pass up on him and pass up on these running backs that are clear positional difference makers, and Mahomes is like QB5, which is not bad at all, but then you've made a huge mistake, because the difference between, like you said, whoever is QB1 next year will probably be QB1 by a big time margin like that. But if he's back there at the quarterback five spot, you've got banged here. Because I think that he is different than all of these other cases that we've debated before. But it happens year after year that whoever you reach for at this very replaceable position, it ends up being a big mistake.
Well, this was the question was, who do you think the top three off the board are going to be? Not who are you ranking, right? And I definitely think that there is an argument for Mahomes to go in the top five, whether I, who, quote, is an expert, wait on quarterback, which we all in the industry tend to do, for this exact reason, right? Because we're kind of nervous about I mean, this is why, if you want to take it to a real football analogy, why the Giants are getting banged for passing on Darnold and moving towards Barkley, Saquon.
Yeah, they'll figure it out, though. Don't worry. Dave Gettleman's going to watch the tape till his eyes bleed.
Listen, he has opened it up. He is not being, like, staunch about Eli coming back. He's just going to, like, see what the universe brings him.
Anyways, but no, it's a good discussion. And I think it's one we're going to have
a lot of a
million times.
And we'll see what happens in the postseason.
We'll see.
All right. So we asked our followers which 2018 breakout player they believe will let people down in 2019 in this next installment of...
Don't at me, bro.
And Code Brown said Lamar Jackson. Year two defenses will adjust like they did with Tebow, RG3, Cap, etc. Either he will have to showcase his arm to keep them honest, or he will struggle. I feel like this is a pretty fair point.
It is, but I could also see some progress from Lamar in year one to year two.
Or you get him some receivers like Antonio Brown thumbing his nose at the Steelers and staying in the division.
Yeah, you really want to keep this guy in the division.
I really do.
This is not going to happen, but, you know, whatever. I think we could see more progress from Lamar and you. I don't think he's going to be RG3, Tebow, any of these type guys. I mean, maybe the Griffin example, but.
Well, there's a sustainability. Like, how many times, if you are trying to keep your franchise quarterback healthy, you're maybe not running him 17 times, letting him rush 17 times a game.
Yeah, I know. Durability is a concern with 17 carries a game from a quarterback. I don't think the previous high by QB was like 10.5 or something. But he averaged 80 rushing yards over seven starts. I mean, that's equivalent to throwing two TD passes. I mean, he could have had four rushing touchdowns easily in week 17. I mean, one he lost at the 1-inch line there, and then another 30-yard run called back on a holding that was completely inconsequential to go along with his two other rushing scores. First 21-year-old ever to start a playoff game this weekend. I'd be excited about Jackson. Of course, this all depends on prices, but yeah, to me, I'm looking for further growth.
Will McLean, Dalton, says McCaffrey. I don't really think McCaffrey broke out in 2018. I think he continued his awesome fantasy campaign from 2017 and rode that wave. But he said no way he gets that kind of workload with a healthy Cam. Cam was hurt most of the year. Dalton, do you think Cam Newton's going to play in 2019?
It's tough to predict anyone to get that kind of, you know, snap usage like CMC got last year again. But I have no idea what Cam Newton's future holds. I mean, there are... It's hard to see. Yes, I know he was playing hurt, but I don't know. Cam Newton wasn't that much of a disaster this season. I don't think I think Cam Newton may return and be healthy next year, and there'll be more weapons. And why that may result in fewer touches for CMC, there could be more TD opportunities.
Sure. I think that's a fair point. I also feel like this is another player you're going to have to decide to draft at peak value this year. He returned on that investment at peak value, and maybe he'll do it again. I'm not 100% sold that Cam Newton starts the season in September for the Panthers. I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough. I think we might see another Andrew Luck situation coming, but that's tangential. And Matt's staring me down. So let's go to JK, who says Philip Lindsay.
I don't like that. I don't like anything that was said in that Will McLean tweet. Get that tweet out of my face.
Philip Lindsay, he's extremely talented, but JK is worried defenses will continue to focus on him without a better supporting cast. I don't know. Like, I think this is the trust your eye thing. He was real good.
He was really good. Super high yards per carry. And I think earned it too. Like, I don't think he is a fluke. But again, you got to ask yourself the question, depending on where he's going to go, is it worth getting into bed with this Broncos offense, which
has a lot of question marks?
Here's the question. What do they have going for it beyond Philip Lindsay?
Well, they've got your boy Deshaun Hamilton, who I think can definitely take a step forward
next year.
They've
he's got an elite Courtland player, Sutton. But beyond
they've got
him.
They don't have a quarterback and they don't have a play caller.
Right. Who's the going
to
be the head coach?
Well, that remains
there.
To be seen, that but I don't think seen. You can just assume that Philip Lindsay is going to be truncated by, like, Royce Freeman next year.
No, of course. No, we're talking about players that matter. We're not talking about Royce Freeman.
Do you hear that, Evan?
I mean, I just like the offensive line is broken there.
Now.
For now, yeah. No, I mean, it's a damn January discussion. Of course, there's a lot of for nows, but I'm saying this could be one of the worst offenses in the league. I think it's also right up there with the Cardinals and the Dolphins in very unattractive jobs, because who's going to want to go there and work with John Elway, the man who cannot be fired, no matter what mistakes he makes. And you're going to be the fall guy there. I don't see that as an attractive destination for one of these great young offensive minds. And to me, I think it's entirely possible that we're sitting here, you know, and again, I'm looking a little farther down the line here. And we're looking in July. This is one of the worst offenses in the league, and I'm not going to really want to invest in a starting running back there.
All right. I hear that. Dalton, are you with Matt on this?
On one hand, Lindsey is 5'8", 190. I mean, that's pretty small. But I'm totally with you, Liz, as far as passing the eye test. I just kind of want to take a wait-and-see approach and see what Denver does at quarterback. I mean, that's going
to
be the main
thing. Well,
that
is the reasonable thing to do, Dalton. Thank you. Thank you for being the coolest head that should prevail in this conversation. See, Matt, this is how you and I should. We should all try to be like 3D.
What?
We should take breaths and a wait and see approach is exactly. I was like, I'm not going to try to get cute next year. What do you mean, Matt? So I'm already breaking resolutions.
Hey, we need more tequila shots.
Oh, man. Bring those and some Advil. There's no Rock'em Sock'em with Brad and Andy this week because they're both on vacation while we're here coming to work hungover. But that's for you to imagine what it
looks
like.
I'm not hungover. You're the only one that's hungover.
I'm not hungover right now. I feel great.
Why do you keep talking about being hungover?
You know what? I don't know what you're talking about. Needless to say, Brad won the Rock'em Sock'em ranks competition, and now Andy has to pay for their 5-star trip to Antigua together. Can you imagine, by the way, like Andy rubbing a little bit of suntan lotion
on
Brad's shoulders?
I can't.
You can't imagine, though. I bet when Brad is on like a beach vacation, he wears that hot pink zinc oxide on his nose. That you can imagine, right? Come on, kids, let's get in the pool. Here's my beach ball, and here's my giant those shorts. What are those called? Board shorts?
Where like you wear the boxers with them.
Yeah. I love when dads wear those on vacation.
It's pretty fun.
My favorite look. All right, let's talk a little DFS because obviously if you're listening, you like fantasy so much that maybe you even like to keep it going into the postseason. We have a game, of course, every week throughout the postseason. I'm going to talk bargains first, and I'm going to go first. I don't know if Kiki Cutie is going to play. It feels like he's almost played quite a while, though he was getting in full practices just earlier this week. I like his chances versus Indianapolis. I think there could be a bit of a shootout here. The Colts have beat the Texans, I believe, twice already during the regular season. Both times they saw them. Demaryius Thomas on IR, so there should be a good number of looks funneled Kiki's way. He's only $10. If he does play, I mean, maybe by the half he re-injures himself, but for $10, I'll flex him.
That's a good call because, I mean, their receiver core is just totally bereft of any real options at this point. So they kind of need him.
I'm staying in the same game. That's what I'm saying. So I'm with you there. I mean, both Indy and Houston have top 10 paces. So that, I mean, this should be this weekend's highest scoring. Well, obviously the highest total. Give me Dontrell Inman,
yes.
Just $14. Banged up, but scored each of the last 2 weeks. I mean, Houston, such a funnel defense. They finished number one ranked in run defense, DVOA, and they allowed the most fantasy points to perimeter receivers over the final month of the year. So give me some Inman, especially at that price.
And T.Y., even though he's been balling, he's still a little bit banged up. So there might be a preservation strategy walking into this one. What about you, Matt?
In terms of bargains, I was looking at the tight end position because everybody's going to want to play Zach Ertz. Everybody's going
to
want to play. Well, because he's...
We'll get to it.
Who are you going to answer my question. Who are you going to play?
I'll tell you.
I kind of like Trey Burton in that same game. Revenge game. You know what I mean?
Sure. I feel it.
I think that game could be interesting. I don't think it's going to be very high scoring. Mm-mm. So there's that. The other guy I like too at tight end, and this was a position I was just thinking about, is...
Don't do it. Who is it?
It's Mark Andrews from the Ravens.
Oh, that's fine. You can say that. Okay.
You know, I think he kind of emerged as clear-cut of a guy as you can be in Baltimore towards the end of the season. So I think he's interesting in a game that I could definitely see being a little bit more high-scoring than it was last time around.
I'm fading Zach Ertz at $24. That is too expensive. You mentioned Mark Andrews. I like that as a bargain play. Also, if I was playing in a tournament, I might throw a dart for $10 at Mo Alley Cox's way. Houston is horrible against the position, and Eric Ebron can't catch everything, although he has in the past this year caught everything. So
I like when you have to like double caveat it, you know, in the past this year.
Well, because I keep remembering the year is over. But yeah, there's no way I'm paying up for Zach Ertz. Also, it has been, we have weeks of data now that shows that with Nick Foles under center, that guy loves to throw the ball up and just let Alshon Jeffrey climb a ladder and haul in the contested catches. He's not throwing balls over the middle. I know, you know, 2 weeks ago, Zach Ertz had a huge target total, but I believe that game was against Houston, which proves my point about throwing a dart at Mo Alie-Cox. M-A-C. Dalton.
I like it. That is definitely going
deep.
You don't
have to like it. You just got to go next.
No. That's a funnel defense. All right. So what are we asking me for?
Margin.
Fade from me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, okay. Fade for me. Russell Wilson, $36. I mean, it's just the most expensive quarterback on the slate. They're both run slow paces. They're just going to want to run the ball like crazy. One of the coolest stats, though, is Tyler Lockett, who finished with a perfect passer rating when thrown
in the season,
which is the first for a receiver with that many targets. That's pretty awesome. But I don't know, man. And this Lamar Jackson's the cheapest quarterback on this slate, and I kind of like Trubisky's setup there against the Eagles. So I would either go cheaper at quarterback and spend up on Zeke Elliott in this weekend's games instead.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the whole Seattle passing game in terms of the receivers too. Lockett is $18. Doug Baldwin's up there at $22, and I think there's a lot more appealing options out there. I think that whole group makes for a pretty decent fade, to be honest. So I'm kind of trail you on that one, Dalton. Chris Carson at running back at $25, I think to me is a good look too.
I don't mind Gus Edwards at $17. Playing the Chargers either. I know Kenneth Dixon had himself a game, but you have to imagine that Baltimore's going to want to play some keep away from for at least the first half of the game.
What about Lamar Miller? $19.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It depends how the Texans are run blocking. That is such a hard line to trust. But you know what? We're going to have more of these conversations throughout the year. You can follow us on Twitter and submit your questions to @YahooFantasy. I'm @LizLoza_FF. That over there is @DaltonDelDon. And of course, we've got @MattHarmon_BYB. We'll be back next week with more daily fantasy and off-season talk. We out. Win big.